This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pi Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Celsius to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Randy? Can you feel it?
I can feel it. I am here, Lou, and ready to spend a couple hours with you and anyone else who is listening to us tonight.
Yay! Yay. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I saw something interesting. I think it was a comment on a Facebook conversation or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I believe that the BIPCOT no government license has an exemption for postal carriers because they deliver BIPCOT merchandise.
So they do.
There may be like a limited special dispensation, you know. So like maybe they've paid their indulgences to Pope Michael, and he's like granted them, you know, special dispensation, something like that.
It sounds to me like we're beginning to create exceptions to the prohibition against government actors, so you carve out some exceptions. You know, first of all, of course, no one can get an exception if they actually bring aggression against anyone. If you're there to enforce the laws, no matter what they are, you know, I'm only doing my job, then you could not get an exception. And I would think that the job that you're doing has to be a job that is a good thing that needs to be done. So that if you're doing a job that would have to be done even without a state, so if you're the guy that fills the holes in the road, that's an honorable job. That would have to be done in any case. And the only problem that anyone would have with you filling holes is that you were doing it with stolen money. But under the circumstances, it has to be done. And so that person might be eligible for an exception. And maybe the mailman gets one under that logic. What do you think?
Well, maybe it's only maybe carrying the BIPCOT merchandise is his hall pass through LibPair. I don't know.
So the road fixer, he doesn't do much to help further the cause of liberty, even though you might perhaps the BIPCOT sticker might actually pass over his road on the way to someone's house. I don't know.
It's possible. Actually, I know a guy who's an anarchist employee for the Department of Roads and Traffic Jams.
And how's that? Is he doing anything about the problem?
I think he's learning right now. He's studying to be a Rhodes Scholar.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that, Randy. Sorry.
Lou, you know, we're talking about who, you know, what, there's so many exceptions that you have to make for ourselves to live in a society that has a state, even if we would prefer that the state not be there to run everything and take from us and that, we're stuck living in the state. So no matter how hardcore you are in your principles of libertarian anarchism, you would still have to drive on the government road to get where you're going, most likely.
And because if you drive in the median, the cops will shoot you in the face.
Well, you could not go at all. You'd just stay home. And it's not reasonable. And were you the one that did you send me the link about the man celebrating the vote to repeal Obamacare learns that is on Obamacare? Now, what was your take on that? What was behind that?
I personally think that is a blood relative of the Tea Party person that back in 2008 and 2009, when they were talking about the Affordable Care Act. I think that's the old person that says, you keep your government hands off my Medicare.
Well, you know, I think I thought that at first, but then I was looking at the notes that, you know, not the notes, the comments that came after that. There was a picture and someone pointed out that the Senate had voted 51-48 to repeal Obamacare. And then this one fella got on and commented and said that he thought that was a good idea, even though he was on Obamacare, wasn't it?
No. What he said was, Obamacare should be repealed. And, you know, I feel for you because I'm on a little bit of assistance right now, but I get my health insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
Well, that's kind of dumb, isn't it?
Yeah, as if it's something completely different from Obamacare. He's like, Obamacare needs to go, you know, but I'm on the Affordable Care Act, so, you know, I kind of feel your pain, but not that much, you know. But from what I hear, the Republicans are attempting to repeal. I don't know if they're going to repeal and replace it. But from what I hear, there's a lot of people that are upset about a possible repeal of Obamacare. They have been promised by the president-elect, the House and the Senate, and all the different bureaucrats. You know what they've been promised?
What?
If Obamacare gets repealed, if they like their plan, they can keep their plan.
Well, then what more would they have to worry about? You know, exactly. I had a little bit of a different take on this. I mean, I realize that it did look like he didn't realize that the Affordable Care Act was Obamacare.
Oh, no, that's exactly the case. He's dumb as a fence post.
Well, no, but the criticisms that came after it from other people who were saying, what an idiot, they were more along the lines of statist sorts of criticisms. They were criticizing him not for not knowing the difference, but he's on Obamacare, or the ACA, whatever you want to call it. He's on the Affordable Care Act insurance, and he's wanting to get rid of it. What a dummy. Isn't he cutting off the limb that he's sitting on by being against it? And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, and this relates to what I was saying earlier about the roads and that, we're all completely stuck with using certain government services. We pay the road and the park taxes, and then we use the roads and the parks. And we pay Social Security, and then we might take the Medicare and the Social Security. And even if we do all those things, there's nothing crazy about turning around and saying, I oppose this. I think we should repeal Social Security. We should repeal all road taxes, park taxes. I'm against all of it. And you know what? If they weren't stealing the money for the roads and the retirement and my medical care, if they weren't stealing that from me to begin with, I could actually afford to begin to provide for myself on that. And so I don't think there's any conflict between the idea of using these government services, because there's no choice. You know, first of all, you may actually have no choice whatsoever. You got to use the road. But even when it comes to things like the schools, by the time they take your money for the schools, you may not have enough money to send your kid to the private school. Maybe you could homeschool them. That might be better. But the Social Security, they take 15% of your pay for your whole stinking life. You may not have that much left to save for retirement. And so they back you into the corner and say, well, why don't you stick to your principles and just not take the money, stick to your principles and don't use the parks, don't use the roads. And that is a false choice, I think.
You know what? After the break, when we come back, I think I want to rag on Socialist Security a little bit. But with the whole thing, stick to your principles. I recently saw somebody was making comments and they were ragging on Ayn Rand. And I'm not a fan of Rand. I think she had great stories, but I think she was a lousy storyteller. I think that her writing skills were just absolutely horrible. And I think that 40-page monologue of the radio broadcast in Atlas Shrugged, she needed to get, like, deported back to the gulag for that one, because that was just horrible. But here's the thing.
Wait a minute. You mean you actually read the whole thing?
Yes, because I didn't know how long it went.
Because I think if I were to reread that book today,
I would skip that section.
And that's what I did when I read it, and I thought it was much better.
Yeah. Well, did you read it the first time all the way through?
Part of it, then I skimmed. And after that, I didn't read it at all because there was nothing there for me.
Okay. Well, anyway, the bottom line is, this guy was calling her a hypocrite for taking Social Security and Medicare when she got older. And it's, you know, she was forced to pay into Social Security and Medicare all of her working life. So for her to not get some of her money back, that's not hypocritical. If we were walking down the street and we got mugged up here in northern Michigan and the guy was running away and he tripped in the 2 feet of snow that's piled up and knocked himself out and we went and took our money back out of his pocket, is that hypocritical? Because I mean, that's what happened. She basically got mugged and she was able to get some of her money back. And then there was some other stuff listed that was more like family type stuff, which I really don't get into that. But and as far as not accepting Medicare and Social Security, that's a ridiculous argument right there. And it's just like the, well, why do you use the roads? Why do you use, you know, this, that, and the other thing? If you don't like oak trees, why are you breathing the air?
It just makes more sense to abolish the government's taxes and abolish the government's benefits and go on from there. But, you know, we're always stuck in this position of not living in a stateless society. And then people can come up and point at you. And everybody has some weak point in their own personal thing. Like, oh, I see you're driving on the roads today. Mm-hmm. And I say, yeah, well, when I pulled into the gas pump, I didn't have any. I can't even buy a gallon of gas without paying the taxes. And there's no way I could get anywhere without using the road. So you're could be accused of compromising your principles. And, you know, what are you, a hypocrite or something? And I think that's just baloney. I understand the argument. I think it's a false one.
Or if you go to the grocery store, they're like, you didn't buy any of that inspected meat, did you?
Exactly. Yep. Well, anyway, we're going to be back.
Yeah.
After this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Randy England Esquire, the Freedom Fiends Legal Counsel. Yo. So anyway, I hinted towards this in the first segment. I want to talk about Social Security. Now, when people hear about government programs, and if it's something that they're not familiar with, or if it appeals to their feels and they get the warm, fuzzy feeling when they hear about something like that, they're going by what they envision it to be. It's like the people that envision government as, or I'm sorry, they envision government as being the servant and providing services that could never be provided otherwise, or they envision the Constitution as this powerful document with words that cause evil politicians to tremble and to do the right thing. And in reality, government is a parasite, and politicians, you know, the Constitution limits their behavior like a get-well card cures cancer. But anyway, what people envision Socialist Security to be is a retirement fund, an insurance policy. I spent a number of years in the insurance industry, and I did work with mostly a senior-based clientele. So I was selling Medicare supplement policies, things like that, and also like final expense whole life policies. And here's what we find when we take a really good look at Socialist Security. Do you know what you call somebody who's on Social Security and just Social Security, Randy?
No, I don't.
Poor, dirt poor. The money that they get out of the pension, well, first of all, it's listed as a retirement insurance policy, so to speak. And if you look at a life insurance company, like let's say Allianz or Prudential or something like that, what separates them from the government and Social Security is that these insurance companies have what's called the legal reserve system, which means that they're required to keep about 90% of the premiums that they take in are required to be kept for paying claims. So if there's a mass die-off of customers from like the life insurance policies, then they have the funds available to pay those claims. In comparison, we know that with fractional reserve banking, banks carry about 10%.
Just the opposite.
Of their reserves, yeah. So the insurance companies actually have the money on hand. They have they have liquid assets. They have cash on hand. The U.S. government has IOUs in the Social Security Trust Fund. They don't even have a legal reserve system. I think if a State Department of Insurance commissioner did an audit of the IRS, or not the IRS, well, the IRS too, but if they did an audit of Social Security, they'd get shut down. They get taken over by the state and put into receivership for, you know, not doing the things that they require other companies to do. But here's the thing about Social Security, and you may find this out at some point.
Before you, right?
Hopefully, yeah, because if I wind up on Social Security before you, it means I'm on disability.
Well, let's hope not.
Well, let's take a look at how Social Security works. Generally, you can only collect a tiny portion of it at age 62, and the older you are, the longer or the more it will pay out. So it is annuitized. A large number of people will never collect a Social Security check. Anybody that dies before that time, like let's say with me, I'm not married, I don't have any children at all, and no minor children. If I were to die today, then every penny that has been taken out of my paycheck and put into Social Security, gone.
Well, thank you for your service, Lou.
Yeah.
But that's the purpose of that is to generate extra income to pay out to the people that do live.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is when Social Security was brought about in the 30s, it's not like there wasn't anything available. People were using annuities back then, which are technically a life insurance policy. And what it does is it will pay out a stream of income, and you can get it guaranteed for life. You also have a variety of options for it. And because it's set up also like an IRA or follows the rules of an IRA, you can start drawing on it at 59 and a half versus having to wait until you're at least 62.
I assume with annuities, you can do it both ways. You can have it pay out until your death, or you can have it pay out longer, maybe to a secondary beneficiary or other options, right?
Yeah, the nice thing about those is if you have it set up, you can go for the life of you and your spouse. Or you can go for your life, and then like a guarantee minimum of 10 years. But with Social Security, when one of you passes away, then if you're on two Social Security incomes, then you drop down to one, the higher of the two. So the income basically gets cut in half. But what would we do without that?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
So, yeah, we're going to wrap up on the Social Security thing. As I was saying before we went to break, and this is something that's really important. If you have a married couple and they're both drawing Social Security, let's say they're both drawing $1,500 a month, so that's a $3,000 a month income between the two of them, which isn't bad. If one of them passes away, then $1,500 a month is gone. That means that the sole survivor has to live off of $1,500 instead of the $3,000. And gasoline doesn't get cheaper because there's only one person riding in the car.
Utilities don't get much cheaper.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Utilities don't get cheaper because there's only one person enjoying the heat from the furnace or the light from the light bulb, none of that stuff. So the income is actually cut in half. So if you're like my mother drew, she died, oh gosh, I don't even know if she actually physically got her hands on her very first Social Security check. I don't know if she got her hands on the money. But here's the thing, all that money that she contributed during the course of her life, gone.
Yeah, gone.
Yeah. Now, in contrast, if you have an annuity, and here's something else. A lot of municipal employees, I know here in Michigan, the cops, the local city cops and state cops, they don't pay into Social Security. They have annuities through private insurance companies for their pension instead of Social Security. And most annuities for the same contribution will wind up paying 2 to 4 times as much as Social Security does.
Except for the places where the pensions are funded just by the general taxes. And don't you have that situation in some states?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, that's a really rotten situation because they're exorbitantly high, have no connection to real annuity rates, and that sort of thing. And they're just, they're probably very generous.
Yeah, and that's why the cops are out. That's why the cops are writing tickets to pay pensions.
Yeah, so. I don't know if we're going to get into it later on, but you pointed out to me earlier about how much trouble police in your area were having in recruiting police officers. And I think that the loss of quality pensions was part of that problem. Which my feeling about that is that in private business, pensions have all but disappeared, and people just do not have retirement pensions. It's all going to these 401ks with matching, and the only place to go
or
to
annuities.
Get a pension—that's always possible. And you can buy an annuity with your 401k if you want.
Yeah.
But the only place, the place mostly where you can get a pension is if it's in a public. If you're got a government job.
Yeah.
If you don't have a government job, they're pretty few and far between.
And to be honest, I wouldn't trust the safety of a pension from a government job either.
Well, no.
And if you're 25, just getting out of school and getting a job at the Department of Moving Boxes from one side of the building to the other, there's no telling what's going to happen, 30, 35 years from now.
But the government pension is probably going to be the last one to go under. The private pension is going to be invested in different investments, stock market, whatnot. And if things get bad enough, that disappears too. Mm-hmm. The only thing you'd have left would be what you had stuffed under the mattress, which should be considered,
or in cold storage in a paper wallet.
Absolutely.
So anyway, bottom line is Social Security is not this great savior that people think that it is, and quite frankly, it's a scam. The thing that separates it from a Ponzi scheme is that a Ponzi scheme is voluntary. So if I had the choice of not being in Social Security and going my own way to handle my retirement income, there's no way I would touch Social Security. But there's people out there that think that, oh my God, you know, old people would be starving to death if it wasn't for Social Security, which is nonsense, because people they're on just Social Security and didn't save anything else up. You know, they wind up going to the food pantries and getting on food stamps and all that other stuff. So it's far from being the great savior that they make it out to be. So anyway, let's switch over. Michael wanted us to talk about Chelsea Manning and the possibility of a commutation of sentence. What do you?
Yeah. I think it was yesterday evening. News sources were reporting that Obama was supposedly considering commutation for Chelsea Manning, who. Let me get a little bit from the article here. With a little more than a week left in the White House, Obama has reportedly considering a commutation for former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning. A Justice Department source told NBC News that Manning was on the president's short list for commutations. And he's already spent more than 6 years in jail for stealing nearly a million secret documents and then leaking them to WikiLeaks. The 29-year-old was sentenced to 35 years behind bars at Fort Leavenworth for releasing the files, including those detailing operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. One thing, and I mentioned it, the most notable and memorable thing I think that Chelsea Manning leaked was the video of an American helicopter gunship murdering a Reuters news team. Do you remember that?
Yeah. What was that? It was called collateral something or other.
Well, it wasn't collateral damage because it was during deliberate murder is what it was.
It was called collateral murder, I think it is. Hang on, you yak and I'll Google.
Well, that was one of the things that he leaked, and it was a pretty horrible thing to watch. I think I just watched it once and thought, I can't even stand this.
Yeah, it's called collateral murder.
There we go. After the day after the verdict, Manning, then known as Bradley, came out as a transgender woman. She went on a hunger strike and has tried to kill herself twice behind bars, that sort of thing. It's kind of the article, it goes on in that, and there's people talking like, well, this is has something to do with it, you know, the transgender community and that. I don't believe that for a moment. He should commute the sentence because it's just unjust. I don't care what you know, Chelsea Manning is or was. This is just an evil thing, and I sure hope that something would happen, but who knows? I mean, you know how these things are. Just a rumor, and that's all it is until it would actually happen. Edward Snowden took to Twitter Wednesday and urged the president to help Manning. Mr. President, if you grant only one act of clemency as you exit the White House, please free Chelsea Manning. You alone can save her life. That was kind of interesting. Because that would be another pardon that he could make, would be for Edward Snowden.
Now, talking about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, I'd like to quote something that Sean Hannity recently said. He said that WikiLeaks has never been wrong, and nobody's gotten killed because of it. And one of the big complaints was that with the information that that Manning leaked during the Gulf War time, when he was dropping stuff to WikiLeaks, one of the allegations was that a lot of people died or could have died because of it. But the bottom line is nobody did. I mean, it showed people dying, and one of the things that really, really got to me about the video collateral murder, and by this time I had shaken off my my evil neocon warhawk bloodthirstiness and embraced liberty as my Lord and Savior. And I remember the pilots, they were shooting the place up, and somebody says, yeah, there's a kid in that van, and the other one says, well, you shouldn't bring your kid to a war zone. They didn't bring their kid to a war zone. The war zone was brought to them.
Well, no kidding. And the crazy thing, that was after they killed almost all of the Reuters news team, and there was one guy who was crawling along, you know, by his hands up on a gut, you know, this edge of the street, and the family pulls up in the van, pulls up to help this guy who's dragging himself through the street, and then you hear the audio from the helicopter saying, "Well, the terrorist friends have come now to help, you know, this still living terrorist, and you know, and they get permission, you know, hey, well, we'll light them up too," and then they start shooting the. You know, what is it, that Gatling gun that shoots the darn shells as big as hot dogs or whatever it is, and just tore that entire van up, and ended up leaving, what, one or two wounded kids in it and the adults dead? And it was just a family that stopped to help a guy off in the gutter.
To provide medical care and medevac.
Yeah, and then afterwards, of course, there was some kind soldier who carried the wounded child out of the van in his arms, but by then, who cares? You know, his family had been murdered. The Reuters news team had been murdered. I don't know whatever happened to the kid, but it was just one of the most horrible things you could see, and it was all right there. And no one would ever have known about that if it hadn't been for Chelsea Manning. And the same thing, you know, Edward Snowden. I mean, there's so many things that are so important for us to know about what the government was doing, crimes the government was committing. And they gave us that information, and they're supposed to be villains.
Yeah.
I tell you,
the people that expose the information are villains, but the people that did the horrendous things are heroes.
That's right. It's kind of like the fellow that shot up the... shot up the Fort Lauderdale luggage pickup at the airport down there. And one of the articles that followed on from that was that someone had allowed video footage from that event to get out on the internet, and boy, were they mad about that. And we're going to get to the bottom of who allowed this information out. And it seems like there's so much more concern about secrets being kept secret than whether the thing that's being released is of importance.
Well, look at all this nonsense about the Russians hacking the DNC emails. Well, first of all, there's absolutely no evidence that the Russians have hacked anything. Those are just allegations, and quite frankly, it's absolutely meaningless. But they use the term leak, they use the term hack. You know what term that they haven't used? Fabricated or faked. So
fake news, boy, talk about a story there. That's just anyway, justification.
We'll you're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth it hurts.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Free Jesus. So, redemption in the third act for the first hour. This is an interesting little story. This is from quickondetroit.com, so this is, I think, Channel 4. Roseville man criticizes officer who gave him ticket for warming up car in known driveway. Nick Taylor, and he's actually a Facebook friend of mine, I believe. So anyway, Nick Taylor receives ticket for leaving unattended car running in driveway. He says here, a Roseville man took to Facebook to insult an officer who gave him a ticket for warming up his car in his own driveway. I don't know what the insult was. It doesn't say it in the article. But I completely agree with whatever he would have called that guy, the cop. Every person warms up their car, Nick Taylor said. We live in Michigan. Roseville police. Yeah. It just went up to 7.1 here.
So you feel like you should warm your car up if you're in Michigan right now?
Yeah. So anyway, Roseville police phones have been lighting up with calls from people who are furious that Taylor was given a ticket for warming up his car. I was furious when I saw it, Taylor said. Taylor said he started his car Tuesday morning to warm it up and went inside for 5 minutes. When he came back outside, he had received a ticket that said motor vehicle unattended.
What coward would have done that?
A Roseville officer.
I mean, the guy wrote the ticket and then ran away before he could get back out there.
Yeah. A vehicle parked in drive with keys in ignition, motor running, no one around, the Roseville officer wrote on the ticket. The officer didn't knock on the door to inform Taylor of the problem, because if it is a problem, you know. Well, anyway. Police said the key component of the case is whether the key is in the car. Using a remote starter is okay because the key isn't in the car. If a key is in the car, it's a state and local violation because somebody could take off in the car. Now, what's really interesting is with the 7-Eleven and other convenience stores down here, cops always go in there and they always leave the cars running. They go in there to get their coffee and all this other stuff. So I wonder if they're going to be ticketed.
Well, they don't want to get cold either. They're just like you and me.
Yeah. So anyway, you're putting the public at risk, Roseville Police Chief James Berlin said. This is purely a public safety issue. Okay, so if it's a public safety issue that a car is unattended because, you know, somebody might steal the car and like go, I don't know, driving through a mall or something like that. If it's such a public safety issue, why did the officer leave the ticket on the windshield and then leave the vehicle? If they found a gun laying on the street, would they put a ticket on the gun and walk away? No.
Well, that would be a real public safety issue. They'd want to find out whose it was.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you have this safety issue here, you can't leave it unattended like the owner did, because if your job is public safety, then you know, you need to fix the situation. Otherwise, it just looks like you're a tax collecting, revenue generating welfare parasite. Oh wait,
well,
you are,
and
because you're
and inconsistent in their enforcement of it too.
Yeah.
The police chief that's Chief Berlin, I think.
Yeah.
In the article, and I like the line where it said Berlin said he's not tearing up the ticket. He's angry about the name calling.
Oh my God, my feels.
Yeah, and you know, there's no place for that, you know, in the justice system. He says, you see the disparaging comments he made about my officer, Berlin said. Drop dead. Apparently, drop dead is what this young fella said on Facebook post, huh?
No, the chief of police is telling this kid drop dead for insulting his cop. You know?
You don't think he suggested that the cop should drop dead?
No. Berlin is the chief of police.
I know.
You see the disparaging comments he made about my officer? Drop dead.
Ah.
Well, so
Taylor, the kid, he must have said something else
that
made Berlin angry.
Yeah. So he used a word or words, and it hurt the feels of this officer. You know, this person is supposed to be able to take it, and Berlin put on his safety pin and tried to calm and console the officer.
You don't think he said anything about donuts, do you?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway. From what I hear, the chief is not very well liked, and it sounds like the Berlin Wall needs to come down ASAP.
There you go.
So anyway, the comments on there are very supportive of the young kid. You have the occasional, if you just obeyed the law. But anyway,
just obey the law, yes.
So the Roseville police are reputed parasite welfare whores and revenue generators and all this other crap. They're absolutely useless. So they need to get, like, I don't know, they need to go away. They suck.
Have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both a website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, a symposium of unsupervised sounds that caress your freedom fiend bone. I'm Randy Englund, and co-host Lou Fiend has hacked into the government subspace mind control to beam our pirate signal of protest directly to your frontal lobes. So wash the government off your hands and out of your brain. Hello, Lou. Are you there?
I am here.
I'm so glad. Hey, and I also wanted to mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered all over by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. So, Lou, we're in our second hour on this Thursday morning. And I think that you sent me an article that that detailed the sad troubles that you were having up there in Michigan about finding enough eligible people to become police officers, and I'm thinking, how sad.
Well, one is it's not sad, and second.
Oh, okay. Well, the article seemed sad,
and second, it's not my problem.
and also this town that is detailed in the article. Am I correct that this is the same chief of police?
Oh my god! Oh my god! I just look at that. Yeah,
that wrote the ticket,
Chief James Berlin.
Well, yeah. So it feels like we're old friends. So anyway, you were going to had some thoughts on the subject, and now that this is an old friend of ours, Chief Berlin, from the first hour, that kind of makes it more relevant, more personal to me, and I'm sure to the listeners.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise. So Chief Berlin, Mr. Drop Dead, Mr. The Berlin Wall needs to come down.
Mr. I'm angry because you insulted a police officer on Facebook, Berlin.
Yeah, yes. You'd be nice to my snowflake. But anyway, all right, so yeah, the Roseville Police Chief, James Berlin, remembers a time when about a decade ago, more than 200 people might apply for two or three positions at his department. And to be fair, it's not just his department. Most of the departments are hated, so it's not just them. Everybody's having trouble with this, and that's a good thing. So today he has seen fewer than 25 candidates on hiring lists for twice as many openings, and estimates at least half were unqualified or failed to pass stringent background checks. He's not alone. Other policing experts are calling the shortage a crisis that could affect communities for years. Yeah, could affect them in a good way. We have to do something, especially for the future, said David Harvey, executive director at the Michigan Commission on Law Enforcement Standards, which oversees professional guidelines for officers statewide. Yeah, nice job, clowns. I think we're in a crisis situation with the staffing at our agencies right now. And it goes through a nice little laundry list of reasons. You had mentioned earlier when we were chatting that the pensions, the generous state-funded pensions, have been dwindling down. They're not like they used to be, so that's been an issue. Their plan is, we're going to beat the bushes wherever we can, the chief said. We're going to do whatever we can think of to reach out to anybody that might be interested in a position with us, more so than we ever have in the past. And I know that in Detroit it used to be that they would pay for the city of Detroit, the tax cattle would pay for officers' time at the academy, which was going probably about $5,000 or so. I believe it's still somewhere around in that range. But going through the police academy was pretty expensive. And for those that would go to work in Detroit would pick up the tab for the academy. They just have to do an agreement of working in the city of Detroit for like 2 years, something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something kind of short like that.
There's one line here. They have little hope that Chief Berlin's force can climb to 75 spots. Why on earth does a city police department need any additional cops when they still have enough cops to write tickets for a guy leaving his car warming up in a parking lot? I mean, this is insane.
Because that's the job of the cops, is to collect revenue. They're tax collectors. That's it. It's not their job to serve and protect. It's not to provide security and protection. Their job is to go out there and generate and extract as much revenue out of the tax cattle as humanly possible without creating an uprising.
Well, I wonder if this Roseville, is that the name of the town this is in?
Yeah.
Roseville, they're getting these articles, what, is this in the Detroit area or something? I mean, they're doing a really good job of getting lots of publicity out there. I mean, they must have some attention whores that are just on top of it. Because how did we accidentally fall onto two articles on one crummy little police department in the whole country? It's kind of marveling. You got to admit they must have some good PR people.
Well, the way that happened is I'm originally from the Detroit area, and I slipped on some ice, and that's where I fell, was with these two articles. It was purely coincidental.
Yeah. Well, you didn't even know that both articles starred Chief Berlin.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we were able to help and highlighting the problems that they have to. I mean, people are insulting police officers with impunity in this town. It says here,
dwindling benefits and the rising number of attacks against police nationwide don't help recruiting efforts, experts say. Harvey's group estimates Michigan law enforcement.
Oh, it took an expert to figure that out. Is that right?
Yeah. Harvey's group estimates Michigan law enforcement officers, including police, sheriffs, and tribal, have fallen steadily since 2001, when 22,488 worked. Through October 31st, that figure dipped to 18,399. That's a nice little reduction. They're not able to extract as much revenue out of the population base to give them their lavish salaries that they want. And plus, they have to spread it out further because they've been building up for all this time.
Well, but, maybe we don't need it as many police officers.
Maybe we don't need any. Maybe we need to replace them all with private security and protection. That well, actually provide security and protects. But that's just me.
You remember the Kansas City Patrol experiment from back in the 70s?
Yeah, 1970, a year-long experiment.
Which showed that having police officers patrolling in cars had no effect whatever on the crime rates?
Right. It was a year-long study. It was done by the Missouri Police Association or something like that. And it showed over that one-year period that cops are pretty much useless. And the study's been replicated a few other places, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't know if they had done anything anywhere else, but I mean, they did it as scientifically as they could. They had areas that they took away all police patrols. You would never see a cop unless you had a problem and asked for one.
Yeah, unless you
which would be an improvement, I think.
Yeah. Unless you called to make a report, nobody went there. They had the city divide up into three segments. And one was regular patrols, nothing changed. That was a control group.
Yeah,
one
regular.
Was complete laissez-faire, hands-off, nobody's there. And the next is like Rudy Giuliani, Nazi police state was stop and frisk and everything else. And nothing changed anywhere.
Yeah, nothing changed anywhere. And they even interviewed people that lived in these areas, and they interviewed the people that were in the area that had no patrol coverage of any kind at all for the whole time, and asked them things like, you know, have you noticed anything different about police patrols, whatever? And their answer was, no, I didn't notice anything. You know, who cares? The crime rate had not gone up, and nobody even noticed. And that's kind of... I imagine that sent some chills through some law enforcement experts. You're wondering whether you're needed or not.
I took a criminal justice class back when I started in community college. It was my very first semester there. I took like intro to criminal justice because back then I was still a statist. I wanted to be a copper. So anyway, taking that, the instructor who was I believe a retired cop and a criminal defense attorney, so kind of like you, except you're not a retired cop. But anyway, he says, now, for, you know, you're going to hear this stuff about we need more cops on the street, but the reality is it doesn't do much, you know. So it's a politically motivated slogan, but here's why it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that if someone... you know, has committed a crime against you and you call the police, or even in a stateless society, you would be calling somebody for help. If they didn't have enough people to send someone to you quickly, that could be a problem. But that's the only purpose for it seems that is served by having these people that come out to the house, because having them patrolling apparently does nothing. Having them, and everyone knows that if you're being in a situation where you're being invaded or attacked or something, there's no way on earth any police or private security could possibly get there in time to do you any good. Any good that's going to come is going to come from you,
right,
or forget it.
You'll be there first responder.
Yeah, they'll be there to write the reports up, and that's it.
Draw a line around your body.
Yeah. You do better with what is it? Is it for what's the application for your iPhone and Android?
Oh, Cell 411.
Cell 411, where you could, if you got your neighbors to join in, if you really had a trouble, the guy that would help you might be across the street. He might actually get there in time. I don't know.
But it's unlikely, because when you're looking at violent encounters, I mean, these are over in seconds.
Oh, yeah, you're
seconds.
Right.
Especially if it's on the street. Now, if it's somebody trying to break in your house,
yes,
somebody could get in your house in under a minute. So that seven minute response time of the cops is actually it's a 6 minute escape time for your murderer. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Michigan law enforcement is having a hard time getting people to become cops. Yeah. So anyway,
well, maybe we can help. Why do you think they can't get enough people that want to be cops?
This is not in the article, but this this would be. An educated guess on my part. It talked earlier about attacks on police, and they make it sound like cops are getting killed left and right. And to be honest, the number of murders of cops is pretty darn low right now. It's probably at the lowest point in many, many years. Even though there have been direct attacks where people were going specifically to kill cops in the past couple of years,
and they do get huge nationwide, worldwide publicity.
Oh yeah,
so they
yeah.
seem, and then they keep talking about them for weeks.
Oh yeah,
so that you could have something happen on one day, and then you hear about it a week later. Pretty soon, you forget the names of people, and you think that it's happening all the time. They're talking about one incident.
Yeah, and Blue Lives Matter has absolutely no problem with shutting down highways and bringing commerce to a screeching halt for a funeral procession.
You think they'll do that for you when you die?
I hope not. People got places to be. Don't screw up traffic on my account.
I'm not going to hold my breath either.
So,
well,
anyway.
But if you were in one of the most top 10 dangerous jobs in the nation, you know, maybe you deserve some more consideration.
Oh, you mean if I was a logger, commercial fisherman, truck driver, or anything that's, 17 or 18 spots above being a cop?
So they're not in the top 10, are they?
They're barely in the top 20 as far as most dangerous positions in the world. If you look at the deaths for cops, the vast majority of them, the on-duty deaths are automobile accidents.
Oh, how many guns do you think are in the salute for when the logger has his funeral?
I don't know.
Do they fold the flag the same way for his widow, do you think?
I don't know. Being a logger is in the top 5 of most dangerous professions. And they don't whine like little bitches about it like cops do, too. So, but for cops, most of the deaths come from automobile accidents, and it's not chasing down some murderer or something like that. It's automobile accidents, and there's also a fair amount of heart attacks that are tied to diabetes and obesity, and also suicide is a very high on the list, and I think it has something to do with the work that they do.
You mean suicide of cops?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Literal suicide by cop of cops. But anyway, they have a tendency to commit suicide at much higher rates than professions that don't go around and harass people for a living, that don't extort and shake down and harass people for not harming others.
You know, I wonder though. There's in the article that we were talking about where they were having trouble, there was a they noted that they're reaching out to military members, so I guess former military, and trying to recruit more people from there. I think they've been doing that's been going on for a number of years, but it makes you wonder, though, that you hear about so many people that come back from the military, particularly if they've been in, you know, the bad stuff in the war, yeah, that they don't come back in good shape. A significant number don't. And the suicide rates are extremely higher, and PTSD problems are really high. And if you're going to go to that population to try and draw in large numbers of law enforcement, you could be creating a larger problem than you already have.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the military, I mean, anybody can be trained, I realize that, but a combat situation is so far away from a cop, you know, who's out on the street.
It's a lot closer than it was when I was a kid.
Well, that's the distressing part. They're letting them grow together, and they should be totally different.
Yeah. Here's one of the main reasons before we go to break. One of the reasons why they can't get people to be cops, because people don't want to go around and write tickets for warming up your car in your driveway. They don't want to be tax collectors and revenue generators and government thugs.
Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When the final element issues, it's not good on you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all.
Good then. Freedom Fiends. And we're back. And my name is Randy England, and Lou Fien is with us, and we've got a half hour to go. What's up, Lou?
What is up is we're going to do some foreign language training here today. And what we're going to talk about is a concept called folie à deux. And it's French for madness of two, or shared psychosis. It's a psychiatric syndrome in which symptoms of a delusional belief and hallucinations are transmitted from one individual to another. The same syndrome shared by two people may be called folie à trois. More than two people could be called folie à trois, folie à quatre, folie à famille, or even folie à plusieurs, madness of many. Recent psychiatric classifications refer to the syndrome as shared psychotic disorder. And this is in the DSM-IV. And induced delusional disorder. It's an ICD-10. Okay. Although the research literature largely uses the original name, this disorder is not in the current DSM-5. The disorder was first conceptualized in 19th century French psychiatry by Charles, French name that I can't pronounce, and Jean-Pierre Faure. And also known as
you get both words now, Lou. Go ahead.
French word. So anyway, interesting is an example that was given to me when I first heard about it was I think it was in like maybe Israel or something like that, some kids on the playground and teachers and stuff like that. I guess somebody believed that they were under a chemical weapon attack, and the other people surrounding these this person. Well, let me go back. The person that that thought they were under the attack of chemical weapons actually became symptomatic of the effects of a chemical weapon attack. And the people around this person caught, for lack of a better term, caught the symptoms of believing, or caught the feeling of being under attack, and therefore caught the symptoms of it. So you have people that are suffering from a chemical attack, but there is no chemical attack.
So how do the other people know what symptoms they're supposed to be suffering? Or do they all have different symptoms depending on what was in their imagination before that started?
Well, it as far as the first person, I'm not really sure. The following people would be, it would be mimicry. It's kind of monkey see, monkey do.
Okay, like, so if somebody's clutching their throat, I can't breathe, huh?
Yeah.
And maybe and everyone sudden, would that.
And then all of a sudden, the air people can't breathe. And something that's interesting, I don't know if this would fall in the same category, but this is an interesting little experiment. If you walk into a room and you go, you know, you sniff and you're like, do you smell that? And you give like a nondescript smelling thing. Trying to think of what would have a very faint smell. But anyway, do you smell such and such? And in a lot of cases, a person will go and they'll do their little sniffing themselves. They're like, you know what? I do smell that. But you just made it up out of your own mind. So it's actually the power of suggestion there.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, a lot of people might think, yeah, I'm picking that up.
So,
like gas or something.
Yeah. So what does this whole thing about the shared delusion have to do with? Can you guess?
Yeah, that was my question. Could that have anything to do with the state?
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
The shared delusion, you have a number of people out there they're currently sharing a delusion, and they're really getting upset about some washed up actress that was never really that good, mumbling some words on stage at an awards show. I haven't heard what she said. I really don't care. I'm not some snowflake that's going to get butthurt over stuff like that. And the outgoing president has recently made a farewell address. And, of course, people that hated him tuned in to listen, knowing that they were going to hate what he had to say and disagree with him. And then they have the nerve to get angry and at the things that he said, knowing full good and well that they weren't going to like what he said.
A righteous anger, though.
Yeah. And then you have the president-elect, who will be taking office in, I don't know, like a week, something like that, a week from today? Week from
I think
tomorrow.
So.
Well, whatever. He will be taking office soon. And then you have a bunch of people that are pissed off at him for going out and saying stuff at a press conference. And about the only good thing was, I think today he held a press conference and he told somebody from CNN and says, I'm not going to answer your questions because you're fake news.
So what do you think that we're suffering? When I say we, I mean people in general are suffering from the folly, plusieurs, the madness of many.
Yeah.
And do you think that applies to people in general and the state? And how so? What do you think?
Well, when you're going with the idea of shared delusion, it's quite simple. How can the people that make up government get this authority that people on their own do not possess, therefore they cannot grant to other people? And you're looking at the delusion of legitimacy. You're also looking at the delusion of necessity, because as we spoke about in the first hour tonight, we talked about how Social Security is a scam and how it wasn't necessary and that there were things before that. And quite frankly, you're better off to do it on your own than to do it with Social Security.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But the delusion of necessity comes in, where people say, "Well, holy cow! How would we have roads if government didn't provide them, or how would we have retirement if government didn't have Social Security?" It's kind of. I think in probably about 15 years from now, they're going to say, how would we have health care if government didn't provide it?
But according to the article, I was just looking here, that's not a delusion, though. It's not this particular mental disorder or whatever, because it says a person cannot be diagnosed as being delusional if the belief in question is one ordinarily accepted by other members of the person's culture. And so I'm thinking that who's the deluded one here? It does go on to say, though, that when a large number of people come to believe obviously false and potentially distressing things purely based on hearsay, these beliefs are not considered clinical delusions by the psychiatric profession and are labeled instead mass hysteria. So I don't know what that is defined as, but it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's a little bit of semantics, but I guess there's a point there. For me to call it mass delusion, I don't think it's such a stretch.
Well, it's a semantic point. I suppose that maybe because psychiatrists are part of the general culture, they don't want to get out of step, and if they declared the rest of society as delusional or the madness of many, they would be part of it. But then they're willing to call it a mass hysteria, so I don't think that sounds too good either.
No, probably not. So let's move on to the next bit of mass hysteria and mass delusion or shared delusion. And this is something that I covered here on the show probably a couple years ago. It's called the Führer Prinzip. And that's German for the leader principle. And I'm going from Wikipedia here. It says the Führer Prinzip prescribed the fundamental basis of political authority in the governmental structures of the Third Reich. The principle can be most succinctly understood to mean that the Führer's word is above all written law. So the Führer Prinzip, which means the leader principle of Führer, is not specific to Hitler. It's not specific to Nazis. It just means leaders. So, I quite frankly, when I hear people talk about our political leaders, I keep hearing them say our Führers. But anyway, and that's just how I hear it. So, and the government policies, decisions, and offices ought to work toward the realization of this end, meaning that the leader's word is above all written law. In actual political usage, it refers mainly to the practice of dictatorship within the ranks of a political party itself, and as such, it has become an earmark of political fascism. And the ideology thing here says, the Führer Prinzip was not invented by the Nazis. Hermann Graf Kaiserling, an ethnically German philosopher from Estonia, was the first to use the term Führer Prinzip. One of Kaiserling's central claims was that certain gifted individuals were born to rule on the basis of social Darwinism.
So, well, there you have it.
It sounds a lot like the myth of the great man, which Herbert Spencer absolutely destroyed in the early 1800s, I think it was. Apparently this guy didn't get the message, but anywho, the ideology of the Führer Prinzip sees each organization as a hierarchy of leaders, where every leader, Führer in German, has absolute responsibility in his own area, demands absolute obedience from those below him, and answers only to his superiors. This required obedience and loyalty, even over concerns of right and wrong. The supreme leader, Adolf Hitler, answered to God and the German people.
Thus the Nuremberg trials.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when it came time for the victors in World War II to weigh in on the Nazis, we apparently did not prescribe to the leadership principle.
Well, the people that were at that convened the Nuremberg trials, not we. No, they did not subscribe to it, because when the German soldiers and police officers and scientists said, hey, it's not my fault, Befehl ist Befehl, meaning orders are orders or just following orders,
yes.
People that had convened the Nuremberg trials said, well, That's not an acceptable defense. So every time a citizen says, you can't blame the cops, they don't write the laws, they're just doing their job. They're using the Nuremberg defense. They're doing the same thing that the cops and soldiers in Germany did.
Exactly. Anyway, so
we'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
And we are back. This is Lou and Randy. Final segment. We're going to finish up and then hopefully get some redemption in the third act. And also, hi to Lauren, who is listening somewhere here in the USSA. She's one of my face beast friends who has insomnia right now. So anyway, yeah, going back to the Fuhrer principle. The reason I bring this up is because one of the things, and I can't remember if it's in this article here, but I've seen it in another article. Speaking specifically to Nazi Germany, it was the belief that the leader is the most important thing, uber alles, above all else. It mentioned that in this article here. But one of the lines that they had was, Hitler was Germany. Germany was Hitler. In the other article that I had seen, I don't think it's the Wikipedia one, but this whole notion that everything rests upon the leader, the Führer, Adolf Hitler, Barack Obama, or Trump. You know, make America great again. We can't make America great unless we have somebody in there, this great man that can make it great. This one person who has all this special power. And quite frankly, if one person is the difference between America being great or not, then it's either not that big of a deal or America's just absolutely screwed that one person is the difference.
Yeah, that really narrows it. You know, it reminds me, do you remember the old saying, you know, what's good for General Motors is good for America?
Yeah.
This is kind of narrowing that down even a bit more, isn't it?
Amazingly, that was said by General Motors folks. Go figure. I bet you didn't see that coming.
Yeah, go figure that one.
Yeah, but the thing is, with a new president about to take office, and all these people that have just been so depressed because there's been a Democrat in office for all this time, they're thinking that stuff is going to change, and no, it's not, because there is no great man. There's just a man. Trump is not going to revolutionize anything. Now, and yeah, they might repeal Obamacare, but then they're going to replace it with Trump Care. The individual mandate will be replaced by the patriotic compliance requirement.
But it'll be the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be the same thing, but they're going to call it something else. I mean, the architect of Obamacare was essentially Romney Care.
I think the whole hallmark of Obamacare, the central centerpiece of it, is the individual compliance requirement. I mean, that is the centerpiece of it, and so the centerpiece of Obamacare will definitely be the centerpiece of Trump. And no wonder Obama couldn't make the thing work without having the costs go through the roof. It's because of that, and I'm sure that's going to stay.
Well, that's just economics. I mean, if you don't have everybody funding it, then then people aren't going to sign up for it.
Well, and actually, the thing that's driving that is not so much the individual mandate. I think I misspoke. I don't know that part is as important as the pre-existing illness provision.
Yeah. Well, if you have the provision to where pre-existing conditions are covered, then people that are sick are going to jump on the bandwagon because they're the ones that absolutely positively need it and have been excluded up until Obamacare came into existence. And I don't want to sound like a big meanie here, but insurance is a transfer of risk, and when you okay funding or when you mandate payment of pre-existing conditions, what you're doing is you're forcing guaranteed costs onto the insurer, where the whole purpose of insurance is to cover unexpected costs.
Right. But the purpose of the individual mandate is to fund the requirement to insure for pre-existing illnesses.
Yeah.
And if the Republicans keep the pre-existing illness law the way it is, but repeal the individual mandate, there'll be no way to pay for it except for the cost to skyrocket even more.
Right. What? Yeah, so I knew they'll just make it as bad as it is now, or worse.
Or worse, yeah.
So, anyway, thank you very much for coming on, Randy. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
You too, Lou. We'll do this again.
Sooner or later. And thanks to everybody for listening. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.